A podcast to honor the gods.
This better come with a sacrifice.
Deus Ex Media.
Rotten cabbages? What kind of slum do you think this
there
is?
There is untold amounts of apps on this fucking computer that I no longer look at all anymore.
Yeah,
so
no,
many
I,
Sims mods, zip files.
Oh my god, don't even get me started. Like, I get so... Okay, but here's the thing. I don't do a ton of mods, but the one mod that I do a few, like, peppery ones for Baldur's Gate 3, because I want my thick tab, damn it, with two C's. I am a boobalicious lady, and I want my character to be boobalicious. Thank you very much.
Can I get an amen?
And then for The Sims, I'll do, you know, the wicked whims, the whims, yeah. If you will.
The whims.
Wicked whims.
But I get so frustrated every single time there's a new fucking update, and
oh,
I have to
God,
re-download.
That's how I feel about fucking Stardew Valley. Man. I just have to reinstall everything all the time, especially because a new update just came out. Okay, anyway, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, goddamn.
How
dare Concerned 8 give you new native content to consume?
Let's talk
careless.
About that update 1. Is it 6 or 1.6? Which one? 0.16 or 1.16?
1.6, I think.
Great. Okay, so just, yeah, we're talking about to the tenths in our decimal places. Yeah, we're not making it to the hundredths quite yet. Or no, wait, no, it's singles, tens, and then...
No, I think it's... I don't know.
Welcome to My Cabbages, not an arithmetic podcast.
Hey, everybody, it's time for My Cabbages, a podcast that starts in the middle of a conversation about something completely different. I'm Zach.
And I'm Alex.
And this is...
My Cabbages!
My Cabbages! I was a little late the first time.
Enjoy!
It's okay. We're so happy you're here. An Avatar podcast, which is now a Korra podcast, which is technically still an Avatar podcast because Korra is an Avatar. Honey, welcome to our podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi.
Friend of the show.
I'm so happy to be back.
Friend of the pod and friend of the casters IRL.
That's right. Oh, I got to turn off my fucking space heater. Give me a second.
Well, Zach is... doing some non-fire bending, because if he could bend fire, I think I'd know by now. Honey, why don't you introduce yourself back to our lovely Cabbage Patch folks who have the silly displeasure of not knowing you. At this point, if they haven't listened to the last episode you were on, then, well, first they should go check that out. And then, yeah, please introduce yourself to the Cabbage Patch.
Well, hello, Cabbage Patch. I am Honey, the insanely beautiful, talented, intelligent friend of Alex and Zach.
Your words, not
ours. Super famous, super
That's
cool,
right.
Strong, very good looking.
Keep going.
The last episode I was on was the one where we couldn't stop making jokes about Aang shitting his pants.
Yep.
So if
that
you know,
you
know.
Well,
oh, the Aang shitting his pants time.
All of the things that Honey just said are true. And honestly, if you were a LinkedIn profile, I would be verifying all of your attributes because I can confirm IRL that every single thing you said is true.
Yeah. And speaking of Aang shitting his pants, the new live action show is fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, Honey, you were the first friend of ours who had watched it in full. And
I did not even finish it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you
That's
started it before we did, and you were like, eh. Yeah, so, we were talking about Avatar and Aang shitting his pants, but now we're here to talk about Korra.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine?
Cora does not shit her pants.
Not even once does she shit her pants. I've watched the show multiple times to be sure.
Honey, on it record
never,
here.
It never happens.
I don't know. I think probably an older age that probably Tenzin or one of the kids, definitely Katara, saw Aang shit his pants and, like, you know, was a good waterbender healer waifu and took care of him. And
Katara's always been there. I don't care. I don't fuck with Zutara shippers. Katara fucking cleaned that boy up after he shit his pants. Okay, if that's not real love, I don't know what is.
That's true.
Oh my gosh. Well, honey, thank you again for coming and joining us. You have establish your relationship with Avatar and the original series, but what are your thoughts on Korra? Tell us about it.
Korra is my favorite animated show ever. I am not ashamed to admit it. I've rewatched it at least 10 times now in full. Korra's a babe.
Let me sip on this truth juice.
Bolin's a babe. Mako's there.
Fine. He's all right. I don't see it.
He's part of the team.
Bolin is like, what a dreamboat.
Just beautiful himbo boy.
I think while watching this episode today, I said at least one time, fuck you, Mako. Sorry,
episode,
MC. Still love you.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. I was so tired of Mako in this episode.
Yeah.
I was so over him.
He was just sticking up for his lady.
I just wanted to say before, we kind of moved on from it, but I still want to say it. Every episode that Bolin is in makes me just a little bit gayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is so understandable.
So, honey, you're going to come over and we're going to watch this show in full for the 11th time.
Okay, yeah. No, invite me over when you guys start watching season 3 because Zach and I were talking about that earlier. It's just the best season, the whole show.
The reason for the show to exist.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it.
It's the pinnacle. And you
haven't
seen it.
I know. It's a crime. And you know what?
When you guys watch it, I want to be there.
Oh my
gosh. We'll invite Honey over for a morning of breakfast cereal and Korra marathoning.
Amazing.
That sounds
putting
excellent.
It on the calendar. Can't fucking wait. this is one of your favorite shows of all time. Can't argue with that. From the two seasons I have seen. And apparently season 2 is the one that people hate the most, and I really liked it from what I remember, and I really like the whole spirit world thing.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, really resonating me for a time when I was in a D&D writing campaign mode that really, like, had a lot of stuff going on with spirits, so I was like, yeah, this fucking kicks ass. So if I feel that way about season 2, I can't wait for how I'm gonna feel about season 3.
There you go.
Let's fucking go. And this show...
One thing that I think season 2... Sorry, finish
your head. And this show has, as Honey also mentioned, cute ladies. Anne Boleyn. Everyone in the show is
hot. Oh my
god.
Everyone is so good looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. They could... They're all just so sharp.
Yeah. Like
like the hole of a...
A Fire Nation... I could cut through the hole of a Fire Nation warship because it's so sharp.
Y'all at home listening can't see it, but Alex just, like, leaned on her desk and, like, twirled her hair.
Yeah.
And goes, they look so sharp.
Maybe reasons to live stream or not. I don't know. But yeah, we are here to talk about Avatar, we're here to talk about The Legend of Korra, Book 1, Air, Episode 7, The Aftermath. Well, so I'm just gonna give the folks at home,
the brief description.
Yeah, all of the folks that didn't watch the episode at home, or you just love us so much that you just had to, like, fuck that. I'm just going to listen to what my favorite people on the planet have to say about this. Forget the actual episode. I thought the episode was art, and then these folks came out to talk about it, and it's like, mwah. I'm kidding. I don't know what. No one would ever say that about me. I'm just buying
Are
time.
Are you kidding me? That's literally what I'd say on my morning commute every single day.
Every day. That's yeah. actually
every
like.
Every day when I turn on the Cabbage Patch podcast, that's what I say to myself.
I actually.
Out loud. In I think the car.
I think we just found our new threads and Instagram bio. But in this episode. After the pro-bending arena closes following Amon's attack, Mako and Bolin are invited to stay at Asami's mansion. While spending time there, Korra begins to suspect that Hiroshi Sato is working for the Equalists. As the metal-bending police force investigates the claims, they discover stunning secrets. Okay, but why do you gotta, like, make the summary a cliffhanger? Like, stunning yeah, really. Secrets? You don't need to keep the secret secrets.
Like, after that sentence should have been, those secrets were metal robots.
Well,
that,
now,
everyone.
Well, fuck, this. Now we have to do
well,
work
have
and actually talk about the episode. Oh, there you go. Done.
We did
giant
it,
giant robots. No, we were talking about the Sato mobiles, guys, when they go to the racetrack and test them.
Oh,
remember
of course.
That?
Oh, my God.
I just needed to mention that in that moment, what happened on my end, it was I put this hand up, and then Rory poked his head out from behind me.
Mark II, like, if I feel like Maui's tattoo and from Moana, where, like, the little fishhook guy, every time that Moana's like, oh, gotcha, puts a little mark in her column, I feel that, like, oh, that's maybe another reason why we could, like, live stream an episode. Like, oh, cute little burbs.
Like, one of these days.
Yeah, well, if I ever get my shit together, which, you know, I'm starting a PhD program. Spoilers! Your girl got into a PhD program, and I'm finally talking about it because I'm confident enough to share that publicly.
Yay.
So when I'm in a doctoral program this fall, I have a feeling I'm gonna with all that extra free time, I'm gonna have it's finally gonna be the time that I get my shit together and start. Yeah, let's look great enough so we can like have a functional home office and live stream out for people publicly on the internet. Anyway.
My
when we got to that point, yeah.
It's just unstable sometimes. And so I keep losing. I'll lose y'all for like 5 or 6 seconds. It's not happened like once or twice.
Do
it's honestly
hear?
Fine because. What?
I can turn off my video if that helps.
No, I don't think that ever makes a difference.
Okay.
It's okay. It just means that I'll have little
Blips.
Snippets of new content to listen to while I'm Amazing. Ooh, this part must be in the, like, Return of the King special edition extra scenes.
Mm. Yeah, well, we open up this episode with our man, the Cabbage Corp. Like, and that's another thing. How dare the people that wrote the summary leave out our favorite yeah. cabbage merchant
our
and now
king of capitalist industry. Yeah.
Truly the best and most handsome descendant of the most handsomest man.
Yeah, and honestly, the only capitalist that I'll stand. Let's be honest. Because, you know,
Cabbage
I appreciate...
Corp was innocent, you guys.
You know what? He's a hustler. He's the true... I'm not going to say American dream, because that is dead. But the true Republic City dream... is able to, you know, started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah, I want Sato, Varric, and the Cabbage Corp guy, like, on an episode of, like,
just
Avatar Shark Tank. No, they're just all on Avatar Shark Tank.
Yeah.
Amon comes in and he's like, how would you love it? How would you love to equalize with the vendors? Introducing the Shock Glove.
Okay, this is the thing now. For Korra, instead of the Avatar Antiques Roadshow, it is now Korra's Shark Tank.
Bum, 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 bum. And then instead of doing the, like, the Antiques Roadshow, it can be, like, today we have an entrepreneur with a new product. Like, and then we'll, like, pitch it like that. I like that. No, it's very fun.
Yeah. Well, here it is. First, like, what product is being pitched? like we have the, we have a lot of honestly contenders for the episode. We have the Equalist gloves, we have the Sato mobile, we have the stunning secret at the end of the episode.
The mech suits.
Spoilers, it's a giant robot.
it's Ava's. It's Evangelion's.
I just want to briefly talk
made
about...
Made of more platinum than exists on planet Earth.
They magically are finding all this platinum everywhere.
Where the fuck
is
I don't know where
they're getting
platinum.
It from. Because
they live on a different planet. You don't know.
Yeah, maybe in this world, platinum is like the toilet paper of the precious metals. It's whatever. What the fuck ever. Bronze, we give that to third place losers in competitions. Platinum, who the fuck cares?
What were you gonna say, honey?
Oh, I was gonna say that I wanted to talk about Korra getting to know Asami this episode because it is like those two. It's their episode, like throughout the story.
Can we put a pin in that though? Because I have one more thing for Cabbage Corp, and then we can transition. We have the Koi Tang. Love this concept, but it's not going to be the real cabbage merchant, the OG, like our buddy James. Even though they have the same voice actor, but like
still James.
So what's the relation though to the, like the original cabbage merchant? So we have the
one.
Do we
think he's like a son? Or the grandson?
I mean, it has to be a family relation. I think this is a family business.
Oh, this absolutely is like a relative of the cabbage.
But like, okay, but what else? Okay, so what does Cabbage Corp do though? Because like
they're a technology company.
Okay, so they mentioned that. So how?
That's why that they were implicated with the gloves.
That's the fanfic that I want to see. I want to see how we go from like, I mean, because it makes sense, right? Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, like they, or maybe Bill Gates. I don't care. All of those like Silicon Valley tech bros like started in a garage or some shit and then they went to college and dropped out. So how did we get from cabbage to like in bossing say slash
the ancient
Omashu?
Legend the ancient legend of Hezekiah Jobs was he was an apple merchant. He sold apples out of a cart that kept on getting destroyed by hooligans, and then one day his descendant would go on to make the most impressive computer company ever.
Okay, but now, like, do you think what is the public image of Cabbage Corp in Republic City and like in this world? Is it positive? Is it kind of like something like super exclusive and like, oh my god, like you don't have a Cabbage Corp phone? You don't have a cabbage phone? Like, we can't.
You don't have a cabbage phone?
We can't hang, like, your messages when you message
cabbage
me
phone is just this awkward cabbage
green. They're blue
receiver.
Instead of green. In this world, we can't get with the blue. You gotta be green. Okay? And only one, my cabbage phone to your cabbage phone makes those green messages. So I know when you're texting me from your, like, water drip phone.
Yeah, unless I drop my phone in said water, and then I have to go, my cabbage phone!
So, but, like, yeah. Like, so are they, like, the uber, like, flashy cabbage Amazon?
I don't know. Like,
or are they universally hated like Jeff Bezos?
Here's the thing.
And Amazon?
They are, here, I think, very hated. At least Asami fucking hates them.
Oh, she, because they're their biggest competition.
Right. They're, and yeah, she's they're, right. They're her, their daddy's contest. What, like, my question is, like, do they have, we don't ever really hear what they produce. We just hear that they're a tech company and we see them breaking open boxes with the like Equalist gloves in them and stuff. But we don't see like them breaking open boxes of, you know, like the Cabbage Corp MP3 player or whatever the fuck they sell.
Well, let's think the radio is like the biggest.
Transportation, right? I thought they made like, that's why they were the Sodomobile's like biggest competitors, because they make cars and they make what's it, the blimps, the airships.
Oh,
they make airships as well. Yeah, they make airships.
What?
Yeah,
I don't remember this.
Damn,
that's,
dude,
that's crazy.
Okay,
I gotta look this up.
Everyone in the Cabbage Patch, like, send us your like backstories on the cabbage merchant and how we went from selling just actual cruciferous vegetables to, like, making industrial, like, war equipment.
It's truly the most natural pipeline, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cabbage Man's son, like, was, like, born into the cabbage.
Cabbages to, like, airplanes.
Into the cabbage family and was just like, nah, fuck this. I'm gonna be a 4 a.m. rise and grind. I'm gonna get up at 4 in the morning and drink 20 raw eggs, and then I'm gonna play the stock market for 3 hours, and then my morning starts.
Our Avatar Street Bets. Okay, I can feel this. Yeah, I definitely... It's hard. Okay, but, like, if they're Amazon, then what does that make Sato Industries? Because I feel that Cabbage Corp has more of, like... I hate to say this, but, like, I kind of feel like Cabbage Corp is kind of like Tesla. and Sato
Don't
Industries...
Say it.
What? I don't have a good one for Sato Industries. But.
I was going to say, well, no, that makes the Cabbage Man Musk, and I can't stomach that.
Okay, no. Okay, fuck that.
Not our best friend.
So, Sato Industries is Tesla. That makes much more sense.
Sato Industries is Tesla. I, but that would be saying that Asami is Elon Musk, and she's just so not him.
Okay, but she
sucks.
Okay, that's because she's her trans daughter who, like, just refuses to associate with her father. That's the story. Okay, they're neither, but thank you for entertaining me. I mean, I can see no, like, every, even Sato Industries doesn't suck enough to be Tesla.
I feel like a Gates versus Jobs is a much more apt comparison.
Yeah,
here.
I agree. Oh, that's good. Yeah, so
two men I respect monumentally more than Musk, okay. And I don't respect either of them.
Okay,
that much.
Actually, no, this totally scans because this is what happens. We totally get the Cabbage Corp, and we got, like, them. They're the Apple, Steve Jobs, like,
yeah.
And just, like, even though, like, people kind of, like, hate them, because, like, look at Apple now. They're getting all these lawsuits and they're, like, not universally well-loved like they used to be. But people, like, worship. They're still the cult of Apple, and people obviously worship the Cabbage Man. So, yes, this totally scans. And then we have, in Sato Industries and, arguably probably more of a game changer and, like, more of the hearty, like, kind of, like, American made, like, Microsoft, like, yeah, Bill Gates, like, and then Steve Jobs and the cabbage merchant goes on, like, the wayside, and Steve Jobs still has, like, this cult around him. And meanwhile, like, we're just like, oh yeah, Bill Gates, you're kind of cool. We like you. Hiroshi Sato, yeah, you're great. Like, you're Asami's dad. You're cool. And then it turns out after, like, Bill Gates and Melinda get this divorce, and we're like, the fuck? Bill Gates is a shitbag.
Yeah, Bill just suddenly becomes a fucking Bender incel. He's like, no.
Also,
I hate that my daughter's cavorting around with this trash.
I like how when you listed all the good things about Hiroshi Sato, the only thing you said was that he's Asami's dad. And I think that's an apt description that is his only redeeming quality.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That his genetic material produced such a strong character.
Yeah. Well, so that's what, thank you for coming to, this is us, like, setting
your
up.
Your Cabbage Court TED Talk?
We did do the TED Talk, but we have to, before we do the first official of the Koi Tank name TBD, still workshopping that, it's a whip, but we gotta give our profiles of our different, sharks, if you will, and this was the Cabbage Corpse, one.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Tune in next week.
bum 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 bum.
Yeah, so now we can talk about, so Hiroshi Sato is Asami's dad. Honey, you wanted to talk about Asami.
I did really want to talk about how this whole episode, there's, like, so much shit going on in the background, but, you know, it's really about, like, Korra and Asami's friendship and that is forming. And I loved, I remember like watching this as a kid, like when it first came out, and I was like so happy to see like that Korra was not actually, or like becoming not actually jealous of Asami, but I think she was becoming a little more jealous of Mako a little bit. And I just loved seeing their relationship grow.
This episode gives the impression that Korra comes away from this going, yo, she is too cool for you, dude.
Yeah, what are you doing? For real, though.
She's way too cool for you.
And you're
she's cool enough for me. Did I just say that out loud?
I mean, I'm the avatar. I get whoever I want.
That's right.
That's consensual.
I think it also is like such a trust building experience for the two of them. Like it's such sets such like a strong foundation for their friendship and the bond to come by like the fact that one of their first interactions or one of their first challenges as friends was for Korra to protect Asami from somebody who was lying and gaslighting her.
Yeah.
And like be right and
let
like,
alone, you know,
help Asami see it. And have it be true. And I love seeing that. And then you can just like, it's like they got through that together right off the bat. Like these bitches are never going to separate ever.
Yeah. And also you forgot to mention that the person that she tries to be like, oh, this person's gaslighting and I need to protect you was her father. But
yes,
you know, small details.
It shows that Korra only has like the pure is maybe not the best word, but only the friendliest and loyalest of like intentions
cabbage,
for Asami.
Cabbage Patch, you can't see it, but my eyebrows are going through it.
Yeah, super pure platonic.
Super pure intentions.
Roommate like
sisterhood. Just best friends and roommate.
They're just friends, you guys.
Which in hindsight, y'all, I understand, but when I was in college, like I had female roommates both my freshman and sophomore year.
Where are we going with
no
this?
No issues. Zero issues. The minute I move off campus and want to have a gay man as a roommate, whoa, red flag.
Whoa.
And now in hindsight, I'm like,
wait, like to your parents?
Damn
you
it.
Mean?
Yeah.
That was the context you left out. We didn't know where you were going with that.
Well, I mean, like whoever, right? Like my parents, Ron's parents, like
right,
other
whatever.
People like that judge you for like living with a member of the opposite sex before marriage.
Sure.
You know, that crew. Yeah, and I'm just
oh my
like,
god, we're oh my god, babe. We're screwed. We've been living together for ages now. Oh my god.
Yeah.
What is wrong with us?
Yeah.
I'm going to move out tonight.
I know.
Jail.
Well,
packing a suitcase.
Do you know the answer to that question is, the solution to that problem is my younger baby brother, who got to do everything that I didn't with, or got to, and did all the things that I didn't get to do, my parents just like never batted an eye. The answer is he moved in with his now wife, but then girlfriend first. And after that, like what, there's shit my parents can say to me. Like,
yeah.
They can't be like, well, your brother. Yeah. What about Brandon? Let's talk about that actually. And those double standards. but anyway,
what were you gonna say about that?
It's just crazy that caused more of a stir, and in hindsight I'm like, damn it, I could have been gay and living with a lady that whole time. Damn. Yeah. And unfortunately the two roommates I had my freshman and sophomore year, they were like your good Christian Southern girls.
Yeah,
there would have been no crossing.
Straight as an arrow.
Yeah, there's no lavender happening there. But anyhow,
I wonder if they thought the same about you.
Oh, definitely not. Like, just to give you an example, Or first of all, yeah, like just to speed run this really quickly, my freshman year
Hold on, everybody. Lore drop mid episode. Let's go.
Yo, a new lore episode just dropped. Let's go.
Aaron Mankey, hey, how you doing? No, my freshman year roommate was like literally the daughter of like a pastor and went home every weekend and was like the nicest person I have probably to this day met. Like, if someone asked me, like, if who is, like, you know, just, like, the pinnacle of Christian, like, American wonderful goodness that has, like, zero bad, has thought a single bad thought about another person in their life, it would have been my freshman year roommate. Yeah, there was a whole camp that we went to beforehand, before, like, the semester started. And there was, like, a lot of, you know, it was like basically bug juice, but for college kids. And there was, we were getting drunk and doing all of these things that kids underage definitely shouldn't have been doing. But who the fuck cares? We were in college. And so she got selected to be a counselor after this experience. And she got selected because she was like the most pure and wholesome person. And to joke, they like to announce this to her, they gave her like a box with vibrators in it, and she was so mortified that it just stayed under her bed the entire like year. Not just the semester, yeah. The whole year. And then I just think it went like, and then it came out the last day and it went back to the counselors, and then it got passed on to like the next like incoming class.
Oh my god.
It was just like,
yeah, sure, it stayed under her bed the whole time. Am I right?
Counselor heirloom box of dildos.
Yeah, so no. Yeah, she was straighter than an arrow. And then my sophomore year roommate was also not the son or not the daughter of a pastor, but like family went to church every Sunday and was dating a friend, a mutual friend of ours at the time. I use quotation marks because it turns out this guy that she was dating was a white supremacist and also extremely homophobic and like said racial slurs and like yelled death threats about gay people. So yeah, we'll put a trigger warning at the beginning of that, babe. But yeah, so I don't think either of them would have been down.
No, probably.
Speaking of vibrators, one of the quotes in today's episode was, "I had you pegged wrong." By Cora to Asami. I think it's a foreshadowing for the rest of the series.
I had you pegged wrong, but I would like to peg you.
But I would like to do it right.
yeah. Because turns out I'm into one dick in this world, and it's on this podcast. Mm. And the other one, but if it's on, like, you know, if it's getting pegged by a lady, I think I could make an exception to that rule.
They do balance out. Yeah, they cancel each other out. That we meet equilibrium.
Like that's homeostasis. Like every process in life and biology is always coming back towards equilibrium. Love that.
Let's say a lot of big words, you guys.
Equal lesbian.
You tried. That was a good first attempt.
An attempt was made.
But I do.
That's the beauty of this podcast, is I can just cut all the jokes that don't work. How about that?
I do want to go talk about that little side conversation with Asami and Cora, though. So, like, you know, our man with the cabbage corp, he gets taken away. Bad news bears. And, problems are solved, right? So we're just going to have a low-key, like, Beach City episode where...
Cool, beach episode, yeah.
Oh, my God, we see her in a bathing suit. Oh, my God.
I mean, we do. We actually...
So chaste.
Oh, my God.
She sews so much leg.
I do love how everyone in this scene, I love how when I was like 1920s, my first thought was like, oh, come on, at least give us the men like with their shirts off. And then I was like, wait, no, actually, everyone is in an equal amount of clothing. I like this.
Yeah, I approve. I approve of this.
This is great.
My favorite bit in this was Bolin getting like dried off by the... by the butler, and then immediately,
jumping back in the water. Yeah.
The look on this guy's face is like the look on every single like sitcom butler I've ever seen's face.
It was great. And I love Pabu's little like cannonball into the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little Pabu flop instead of a belly flop.
Pabu flop.
Yeah.
We love a Pabu flop. We stand a Pabu flop.
I liked that Asami, she jumped into the water to swim over to Korra, and then she did like a little pose as she got out.
Mm-hmm. She did like the Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
She's like looking over her shoulder at Korra.
Yeah. We get the like sexy music as like she slow motion like whips her hair back, you know.
And then they go like around. She's like showing her around the camp, like the house, and yada yada about how this is all so fun and aren't we so fun?
She's like, oh, and this is where we keep our race cars.
Yeah, they go to the fucking racetrack, which I just read a book called A Game of Hearts and Heist. It is super steamy. It is just built on the cover. And I think, honestly, this is like, if you go to Goodreads, it is the full name of the book is A Game of Hearts and Heist, a steamy lesbian fantasy romance. And that's what it is. And this, the plot, it's there. But is it the main part of the important part of the book? No. And what if I told you in one of the chapters, the main character who is in a secret assassin, who also just happens to be like a champion motocross speed racer in her free time, just like goes around this racetrack and completely like sweeps this like other woman off her feet, like in the enemies to lovers tropes. Like, fine, I still hate you, but can we go back on the motorcycle? Because it did things to my pussy. And I really I concur. I think Korra kind of felt the same way after going around the speedway with Asami.
Like, I will say a thing to Alex, and frequently her mind or attention will be elsewhere and she won't hear me. But, you know, I'll say a thing and then I'll look down and she's like reading her steamy lesbian romance book. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. I can't fault her for that.
No. But, and this is going to be important later, but they also have a conversation when I think they're like sparring and Korra is knocked off her feet, literally and figuratively by Asami. And she's like, oh, I like didn't know that you could like fight like that. And Asami's like, yeah, like I've been fighting like since I was young. What did you think I was going to be doing? Like sitting around on my ass all day? And
Korra's that like, doesn't
I mean, no,
happen,
I, no, I'm not I thinking about your ass. Why would I be
yeah,
thinking
no,
that?
Not at all. What do you mean?
No.
I'm not thinking of how you looked in that swimsuit.
But
why is it getting so hot in here?
But you fought real good.
Oh my god.
Which I mentioned that now because it comes up later. So I'm going to circle back. Put a peen
there is
in
a
that.
There is a scene like that that comes up later
on
in the series.
Put a peen yeah. in that one.
Put a peen in that one.
It's yeah.
a nice little surprise for when you get there.
The stunning surprise. Yeah, well, after they get, then we get a huge house tour. I love this house. I wish I could live in this house, but not really, because we have the best house in the world, Ghibli House.
We do. Our house is great.
And
a giant pool would be super sick, though.
Okay, but, hey, you like, planned it
your,
for the future. Just
due to your
saying.
Parents, due to your parents' sensibilities, babe. I can't stay here anymore. I've got to move out. I'm gonna pack my bags and I'm gonna move in with Honey and just breathe in the asbestos.
Oh no, please no. Or maybe both of y'all move out to somewhere else. Or honestly, if Honey moves in here, then it'd be fine. We're just all roommates.
That would be fine.
So, I mean, first of all, I'm super jelly of Asami's house. When people, and I also kind of feel super adult. when they walk in the house and Bolin is immediately like, gotta poop, gotta poop, gotta poop. And this was totally a poop joke because Cora's like, do you have another bathroom I could use? And Asami's like, yeah, there's a ladies' room up to the stairs and to the right, first door on the left, or something to that
She's
nature.
She's like, there's a powder room. And Cora's like, I guess that means I have to, like, powder my face or whatever.
I love that she gives it a try. I love that she tries really hard to understand it.
She doesn't just give it a try. She gives it her fucking all, okay? She pours everything. She's like, how do I get, like,
it's she, not your color, like person, Cora. It's not your color.
The person that goes to a party and they get like half the dip on their chip. Like, she's like, how do I get the most amount of powder possible on this puff?
Oh, she, so you're talking about yourself.
Excuse me. I am not a nucleus stealer. How dare you put that accusation on me?
Yeah.
I respect the chips and the dip.
Sure he does. But Cora though.
She hears some stuff.
She does.
Why don't we get to see Cora in a bathing suit? We should have at least seen Cora in a bathing suit.
Have a theory that her tank top that she wears is a bathing suit, and at any time,
and she just
she could take
the...
Yeah. But you never see like
that's like saying, like, oh.
You never see, like, her hips. You know what I mean? So you can never tell if it is, like, a bathing suit or if it's just a tank top. You know what I mean?
But she's
think it's a bathing suit.
It's definitely waterproof. She's from the water tribe. All of the stuff that they wear, like, with, like, the different animal furs and stuff are definitely going to be from animals that have hydrophobic, like, skin.
Sure. I think what Honey is saying is that, like, if Cora took her pants off,
yeah,
that
just imagine that.
Extend down into the yeah.
Yeah. When I picture the Cora bathing suit, it's just her top and it covers her coochie.
I got you. That makes sense. Yeah, but as after this cute little bathroom and Cora's on her way, gets lost in the mansion, and then she hears some shit, y'all. She's like...
Before she hears some shit, we forgot to mention a scene in the beginning that I think was pretty important, where she runs into Tano.
And
Tano is,
oh
like,
my God,
strung
yeah.
the fuck out. Tano is
I love
real...
Tano.
Tano is Legend of Korra's Keanu Reeves on a bench. He's just the Keanu Reeves on a bench meme. Like, eating his sad cheeseburger.
The LGBT community has forgiven Tano. We stand Tano in this community.
Yeah, Tano's seen better days, dude.
Tano, yeah, this is like day two of rehab.
Day two? This is day, like, well...
This is hour eight of rehab.
Yeah, it's between one and two. Actively detoxing. But then flash forward to Cora, who overhears on the phone and looks through the keyhole and hears Hiroshi Sato talking and is like, oh yeah, that guy, Cabbage Court, went accordingly as planned, problems taken care of, like, we got this. And Cora's like, that sounds a little shady.
A little bit. Sounds like you're scheming something.
A little bit. You know, I love that Tenzin and Lin, as soon as Cora tells them this, they're like, what evidence do you have? And Cora's like, none.
I heard him.
And you should help me anyway.
I heard some shit.
And they're like,
all right,
bet. I trust the 17-year-old avatar over the capitalist.
I would too.
Love that. I would too.
Oh, yeah. No question at all. You mean you of pure heart that has been living on a like in the North Pole your entire life, like, or a shady business guy who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw?
Yeah,
and he's a pretty hefty dude, so not very far.
And also, like, I mean, all of these barriers are removed because you're like, totally would need a warrant before they could just go in and immediately like accuse Hiroshi Sato of whatever Cora overheard. And Lynn's like, nah, I'm the chief of police. There's your fucking warrant.
When you say would definitely need a warrant, do you mean in this, like, 1920s era, different planet from Mars that definitely does not have the same...
It doesn't, but it's...
Laws?
But also, it is very, very, very... much based upon the 1920s and like things of our world. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I was thinking about this like earlier today when I was watching the episodes, because I was like, Lynn is pretty like everybody's just kind of, it looks sometimes like they're gunning to kill these equalists, and I don't know that that's allowed. But yeah. Then at one point in the episode, you see Lynn stabbing into one of those mechs with like knives, and she is just trying to get at whoever is inside. Okay, like, girl.
I think that their lives were very clearly threatened in that situation, and the use of restraint, I mean, by police, yeah, probably better than not. But also at the end of this episode, jumping ahead a little bit, as soon as oh, shame on me. I'm spoiling the stunning secret.
No, jump around.
How dare jump you?
Around. just as we get to the end and we see the secret lab under this super swank Sato mansion we've been talking about, and we see these mechs made of platinum that Mr. Sato has been working on. Lynn's men get captured in the foray. Like, things, like, don't go according to plan. And afterwards, she's, like, being nursed back to health by Tenzin, and he's like, you know, don't be so hard on yourself, and she's like, nope, I'm the chief of police, this happened on my watch, but also, fuck these bitches, because I'm resigning, and then I'm getting my men back on my rules. And
well, she's like, I'm resigning. And then Tenzin's like, oh, you can't quit not after now. And she's like, fuck that. I'm not quitting. I'm going above the law, baby.
So there are some laws. That's more than just the law is not Lin Beifong. But whether or not they would have to
issue warrants. I think Lin Beifong would beg to differ.
The law is not Lin Beifong in that, like, classic American response to pornography, where she's just like, or like, what's criminal, Lin? And she's like, I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it.
I mean, she was taught by the best of the best to know what it is when you see it.
I mean, like, yeah. Okay, you said see it. Not
well,
me.
Okay.
Okay, can we talk about that whole episode where Tom
clearly she
up
says
a crime
clearly word? She uses echolocation.
Okay,
and
but
sound
we do
by
need
screaming.
We do need to talk about the scene in Avatar briefly where like
Tom becomes a crime lord.
No, not where she was a crime lord. That's not what I was gonna say. Where Toph cobbles together like a rock mech suit, and the only thing that's left open is a slot for her eyes. Why?
Are you faking it?
I've heard apocryphal stories that in the original design, it had a slot for her nose and mouth. And the producers were literally like, no, make it her eyes, it'll be funnier.
But it's
funny. It is so funny.
Hold, please. I gotta take off my hoodie.
Holding. Hello, Belmont.
Oh no, you caught me in my woman respecter.
Oh no. My wife respecter.
Yeah, so honestly, there's a lot of things that got me wet this episode, because we definitely went swimming. We all went swimming.
I was like, where
what
is she going with
way
this?
To transition.
We all went swimming in this episode, but Lin Beifong going from, sorry I'm stealing your joke, babe, but from lawful good to, like, chaotic, like, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Damn. She just jumped the tracks, and that I was still wet from swimming. So after that,
she's like, listen, I care deeply about the law, but fuck the police, ACAB. I'm doing my own shit.
All cops aren't bastards, and they certainly as fuck aren't Lin Beifong.
Unless you are Lin Beifong, you are a bastard.
True. I mean, true. It's like, you know, there were lots of things in this episode that just made me rock hard, you know, because of all the earthbending and all the metal bending that's happening.
Yeah. Do you know what thing that made me, like, also rock hard because I just wanted to, like, punch something? Mako. I'm sorry.
Oh my god, he was such a dick.
Okay, so, like, he's finally, like, getting to, like, show off, and, like, it's an extra thing for him because Bolin and, like, him, of course, like, you know, we know didn't come from much. Korra is still pretty modest, but now lives in Air Temple Island, so she's already gotten an upgrade, but, like, Mako's showing off. He's like, yeah, this is my girl. Let me, like, so
Korra's still
sweet,
like, but what is
dicks.
Money, though?
And he's, but still you can tell, like, he's one of those, we all have that friend or person in our life who is immediately as they start dating somebody else, like, that other person's life becomes their whole identity.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened here. And so every time Asami is just like, oh, let me show you this. And, like, we forget that Mako was, wee little fire lad, bender lad on the street.
Wee little fire bender lad.
And literally had to come from nothing. And now he's like, no, I've always been dating Asami. I've always been rich. What are you talking about?
Like, Mako is... Mako
he's
got to
protect,
like,
his bag.
Yeah, but I was going to say, Mako is like, previously Mako is like, yeah, I don't know, Asami or Korra, like, who knows? And then it feels like Asami showed him some boob and he was like, I will die for this woman!
Yeah.
I will die for her! How dare you, Korra!
Oh, I'm sorry. It was not seeing Asami's boob. It was totally seeing her father, like, flash his wallet, and he was just like, Daddy, I will do whatever you want. Just, like, tell me where to sign. Like, get on my knees. Done. Bend over. To, like, you want me to, like, want to spank me?
I didn't know I was a bender until I bent the knee.
y'all, I'm sorry. This is just a really horny episode, okay? Like, we're coming off our birthday weekend.
It only gets worse from here, you guys. It only gets worse from here.
It's a house full of Britneys and, like...
A house full of hot Britneys.
And I just, yeah, I'm still living that high.
Yeah.
So, okay. I respect Mako, and, like, I get it. If someone was coming swinging for my man or my lady, I'd be like, fuck you! Like, if someone came up, like, calling my, like, future in-laws criminals, I'd be like, okay, but which ones? I would stick up for them. Like, I wouldn't immediately roll over. Because we all have baggage in the closet, but Mako is just trying, like, so hard. He's like, okay, dude, like, we get it. You, like, you don't have to defend your lady's honor either. Like, and this is something that honestly was a big thing for me, and we get it at the end of the episode, but constantly throughout this episode, like, people are just trying to put Asami in a corner. Nobody puts Sami in a corner. Fuck y'all.
Nobody puts Mako... salami in a corner.
No, because, like, Mako's just like, hold on, babe, let me, like, fight for you. Not
Mako, like, a future, like, prestiged police officer, is presented with all this evidence against Asami's family, and he is just like, no, I'm gonna defend my woman. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong.
I mean, again, I give Mako a little benefit of the doubt. Quite frankly, okay, let's be real here. If we were all in his position, I would have been like, have you seen this lady? Like, yeah, how dare you slander, like, but I, again, I wouldn't have, I wouldn't gone to the degree that he did. I would, right. I would have answered Cora's question with a question.
If somebody had showed up with reasonable evidence of me being a dick, you'd have been like, what the fuck, babe? What's this about?
You know you just, what I
you
think?
You wouldn't just be
I
like, think, my partner has nothing to say to you.
I think Mako just really wanted Cora to be jealous of Asami.
Yeah.
I think he really just was projecting how much he wanted her to be jealous. And she, after that race car drive, she, I don't think she was ever jealous of Asami ever again. I think she was, as you said, she was like, damn, she is too good for Mako.
She's too cool. That's what the whole art, well, and also, like, that I think was, like, part of it. Yeah, like, she came out swinging, accusing, like, Hiroshi of being a crime lord. But also, you know, he didn't want to, he was jealous, and he saw that. He was like, no, that's my lady. Like, Cora came by, lifted her leg, and, like, pissed. And Mako was like, does what Puck does, and like, it's like, well, I'm gonna pee here too.
God, that's so true. No, when we watch a dog, that dog will go out in the yard and will pee, and Puck will stand 3 feet behind that dog and wait patiently while the dog finishes peeing. And then the dog will like trot away, and Puck will immediately come and he'll sniff the exact spot in the ground where the dog peed. And then he'll line up his little pecker and it's like he's, you know, calibrating his arc. He's like, nope, I gotta land it right there. And then with precision, pees right in the exact same spot.
Yeah. So that's what, yeah. Mako is marking his territory. Makoing his territory, if you will.
Good.
And good. He ends the fight when Cora is just like, I forget what it is she says, that's just like, well, fine, like, I don't know what you're doing, but you're clearly not thinking straight, and or is like upset. I think this is what I said fuck you Mako to. Mako does whatever, like, as soon as she's trying to be like, no, dude, like, here's the facts, like, you gotta, like, listen to what I'm saying, he's like, well, you're just fucking jealous. And of course he's not talking about you're jealous of Asami being, like, me being with Asami, you're jealous of me, like, you want me, it's me that you want, so, like, yeah. You're jealous that I'm with Asami, not that Asami's with me.
You're jealous that I'm with Asami instead of you.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, it's like, you're with Asami, she made that choice, let's be real. But
it's like, wow, Mako, like, I thought you were kind of cool, but, like, way to do that, like, straight guy thing where you make it all about yourself.
As soon as he said that, I screamed at the television, like, fuck you, Mako. And Jake's walking in, and he's like, whoa, and then just turns around and walks out. I had some strong
feelings. Not the real Mako, though. We love him.
I had strong feelings about this episode, if you couldn't tell. And then it ends with, like, Mako being like, well, guess what? I just don't think we can be friends anymore. And I was like, fine, I'm gonna go talk to people that I actually care, and we see her returning with Lin Beifong and Tenzin.
He is really dramatic when he is like, it's like Cora is literally just trying to do her job and like uncover this very deadly threat to the people of Republic City, and Mako is just like, you're jealous, our friendship is over, and he's like so fucking dramatic about it.
Really is just making it about him. It's not about him.
He's like, how, like, the thing about me, right, is I'm me. Everything around me always ties back to like what people, you know, people just want to like, they want me to like them. I'm sorry, I'm such a tight spot.
Oh my god, my life is so hard. I live with my beautiful hot girlfriend and her giant mansion, and like there's this other girl who's super strong and muscular that like likes me too. Oh my god, and they're fighting over me. It's the worst.
And I'm in a world-class pro-bending team. Oh, my life is the worst.
Oh, my God. Sucks. He was like, yeah, I live in this shitty multi-story loft apartment that has a bay view, and it's shitty because I said it is, but it's actually prime real estate in fucking Vancouver.
This place that they are meant to be, like, squatting in, like, the stadium would be, like, a fucking $3,000 a month apartment. Yeah. In
like it has
city.
It has like giant floor to ceiling windows, a huge loft. Like the place is huge and it overlooks the water. It's beautiful.
In fact, they would charge extra for those industrial touches. Like
yeah, so true.
Used to be a slaughterhouse. This is where like they used to
slaughter. He doesn't have to commute for work.
It's got rustic charm, okay?
Oh my God. I can't. This is too real.
Ultimate walkability.
I think we can also talk about this at length with Mary Clay. Like, there's no way without apartment.
Oh my God, we totally did. Yeah.
Like that shit in like Pittsburgh. Like, there's apartments that I used to live in that were shit, and now like they like literally stripped out everything, left like one wall that's exposed brick, and like they have all of like this loose wiring hanging and exposed.
Oh my God.
Exposed like tubing or whatever like the industrial
yes.
thing is, and they're like, oh, it's industrial shit.
It's industrial. Okay, we didn't want to put a ceiling on.
It ruins my apartment right now. If we put on a ceiling, it would ruin the open concept and the feng shui of the space.
Meanwhile, they paint the brick white and it looks awful.
And millennials, we just, you know, we're just, our standards are too high, y'all.
How did we get here?
Yeah, eat too much cabbage. Because Mako is like trying.
Because Mako's a dick. That's what it all comes back to.
TLDL, Mako's a dick. But we do get this. And then we come back, and Cora's like, fine, fuck you. I'll come back. I don't need you. And she does it. She brings back Lin and Tenzin. I don't think this is a part where I deviate from their strategy a little bit. I understand they have to fit everything into a tight like 25-minute episode, but hey guys, maybe once you have this really good intel and you're not super sure about whether or not it might be true, maybe just like automatically like going to A, the scene of the crime, and B, where this and just interrogating this person and just being like, hey, so did you do this?
Yeah, going to his office.
And he's like,
we're good. It reads like Mrs. Puff, where she goes and talks to SpongeBob, and she's like, don't worry, SpongeBob, I talked to Flats for you. I used your name. And he's like, you what?
And his
like, that's what this feels like to me.
Where he comes from, like, kicking your butt just means he wants to be friends with you.
Yeah, yeah. He just wanted to strike at those prices, you know? That's all he meant by strike.
Oh, the going according to plan. Yeah, y'all are here. We wanted to give you a tour of our factories. You were here. We were too nervous to ask the Avatar, and we, like, you ruined the surprise, but it's okay. You can take a look, I guess. So it's like I appreciate the enthusiasm, guys, but maybe if you had just like held off, maybe like integrated a mole and or someone undercover and given it some time.
I mean they had like two guys there already. They could have just asked Mako and Bolin to keep an ear out and report
back.
I
will say, like, if you are trying to suss out a potential suspect and they tell you, sure, go ahead and search all my facilities, I think it wouldn't be very surprising for you to find nothing, because why else would they be like, yeah, of course I want you to, please. Like, you wouldn't expect some criminal to be like, go ahead and search all my facilities, and then the first box you open is just, like, fucking tons of incriminating evidence.
He just has it right there in his office.
He's just like, what's going on? Oh no, dang it!
Forgot about that one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But alas, to the surprise of no one, they don't find anything.
Yeah, they find nothing. And they honestly, like, you know, I get that some shipping boxes are probably, like, sealed in a way that's annoying to get around. But, like, you've already, like, inconvenienced this person that you don't know is a suspect or not. Maybe you don't have to, like, just, like, blow open all the boxes with your metal bending whips or whatever. Like, there's probably better ways to get into that cargo.
Yeah, I wonder, did they clean that up afterwards? Like,
of course the fuck no, they didn't.
They put the lids back on,
or
they just made them put their own lids back on.
Yeah, they're just like, all right, fix it. We're out of here. See ya.
Oh, man, that's maintenance.
Why do you think
Asami
was so pissed? She's like, my dad isn't as well off as everybody thinks. I'm gonna be the one fixing all these boxes after y'all fuckers go home. It'll be me with a nail gun till 2 a.m.
Her and the butler.
But they do come back, and
they get like a tip off from some fucking gumshoe.
So after their failed heist, which wasn't really a heist.
Cora gets slipped a little piece of paper.
Passes her a note like they're in school.
Yeah, literally slides into those DMs.
Which she doesn't even be like, oh, I'm covertly handed a note. What am I going to do? Hey guys, you should hear this! And just proceeds to read it out loud in a public square. Hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah, she does all but like rope in the guy himself who slipped her the note. Like, hey, this guy over here, he he just slipped me this note that let me just read it for real quick.
Hey, did you guys hear we should go to Under the Bridge at midnight? So, surprise, they go to the bridge at midnight, and then it turns out that was a setup the whole time, because by the time, like, they make it to the mansion, and they realize, like, there's a secret hidden lab underneath, and they get down to the factory, it's not a surprise anymore. It was there the whole time.
Yeah, Lynn is like, there's a fucking tunnel under this shed. And
secret
and
tunnel!
And Asami has the gall to be like, what do you mean? There's no tunnel. And then Lynn just like rips the floor open and she's
there's
like,
a tunnel.
There's a tunnel. Huh. And so then like Bo Lynn is like, do you think Mr. Sato knows about this tunnel? And that's the moment where Asami's like, ah, fuck. Cora was right, goddammit. I will
and
say,
Mako. I wanted to rub it in his stupid little Mako face.
I fucking know it.
I was sorry for Asami because obviously she did what she could do. Yeah. She took the side of her dad because she didn't know that he could be lying.
You defend your family unless explicitly shown otherwise. Like, that's just loyalty. But like with Asami, it's like I had a thought. Hang on, let me see if I can get it back.
You got it. I believe
Sato
in you.
Sato had something to do with the floor and the cave. And yeah, where were our fucking hippies this time? There's a, like, Lynn rips the fucking floor off of this thing, and what should have happened is on that little platform, there's a bunch of people singing tunes and strumming guitar. Oh, I know what I was going to say.
Go for it.
With Asami, I'm glad that, because what this could have been is it could have been like, oh, this misunderstanding causes Asami and Cora to become like bitter rivals for 3 or 4 episodes before they fucking come to their senses. But no, it was just like Asami in that one instance is like, oh, fuck, I'm wrong. Cora was right all along. I have to do the right thing. And she does.
It's because they like each other.
It's because they want to kiss and stuff.
Because if Asami is mean to Cora, that lessens her chances of getting to smooch her.
That's true. That's true.
How does that? Oh, I remember. I do love that this is like the first kind of glimpse that we get to the mechs that play like such a huge role in the series to come.
We also
and
get
it's
to
not
see
the
Tenzin
last time we see
go
him.
Off.
We do get to see Tenzin and Lynn fight together pretty well.
Yeah, honestly, this was, there's never not a cool fight on this show. But
the choreography in the show is just always top notch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like the fights better. I feel that like Avatar, they had to be a little more restrained. They were still figuring out their shit, and also
the technology wasn't what it is in Korra.
No, but they had, and they also Khifu, Sisu, like they had like the same person, like or Khifu, like working on the as like their mm-hmm. martial arts consultant, if you will.
In Korra is so lightning fast, but it doesn't feel like the combat feels lightning fast but not rushed. It feels the way combat should feel. Like combat is fast. It happens in the seconds, right? In the Dungeons and Dragons movie, there's a lot of scenes where a lot of people are doing a lot of different things at once, and it seems to really coordinate and look really, really cool. And I feel like we get a lot of that here in Korra too.
Yes. I Avatar has always done a great job between not including live action stuff, but their choreography for battle scenes and fight scenes has always been on point.
I think the fight scenes are easily the highlight of
the live action
Netflix show.
Oh.
Like, I would say that... No, I would say that the combat is, like, the strong part of that show. Like, the writing and the dialogue is kind of, and it varies between iffy and terrible. But I think that I thought the fights were fine. Yeah.
I think for me, when it comes to the fights in the live action specifically, not to deviate too much from the episode, but I think what it was is that the fight scenes weren't choreographed based on those traditional fighting styles that bending is based on.
Yeah.
And that's where some of that, like, the style of Avatar, I think, is lost a lot, because you get that so much in the animated shows, that the way that they fight is based on, like, is a very specific style, like, to each culture. And in, like, Korra does it amazingly, and it only gets better as the series goes on. I felt like in the live action, it just kind of got lost. Like, those specific styles, instead you just kind of see people waving their arms around.
Yeah. But the CG looked really good.
It did look pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get
the final battle scene.
The big final battle scene, which is like, again, I don't know how heavy these fucking mechs are, but I would reckon that Sato's fortune is like 15% Sato mobiles and every other facet of his fucking industry, and the other 85% of his fortune is sunk into these 8 fucking mechs made of platinum. What the fuck?
So much fucking platinum.
It is so absurd.
Like, and they're gonna get more. Where are they like getting it from?
Like a gram of platinum is so much money.
Different economy.
Maybe they're just able to find it better. Like, they have, you know, earthbenders that can kind of, you know, there's probably gotta be other people that can do the foot thing that Lin does.
Sure, but even in the episode, because if they could bend it, then that's what they would just do. But Sato says, Toph could it. Maybe
that's how they find it, though, is because they can feel it in the ground, but they can't bend it. But they can feel their little foot waves bouncing off of it in the dirt.
Forgive me if this is
you know stupid. The foot waves.
This might be stupid. This might be me being a dummy. But couldn't you just make a bunch of mechs out of wood? Now wait. Just give me
now
let me
that
cook.
Now that does make sense.
Let me cook. Nobody can bend wood, right? And no, they would certainly not be as powerful as the platinum mechs. But you could make like 50 of them for the price of like half of 1% of one of
those, that's
like
true.
Platinum mechs. You could make 50 wooden mechs.
That's true. I apparently the bane to every bender is wooden armor. Just get yourself some wood armor and you're good to go.
You can't bend wood. I'm sorry, you can't bend wood. Fucking stamp it.
Someone will figure it out. Someone will learn.
That's right. The
firebender that just sets it on fire.
The new
yeah,
season.
Yeah, but this wood is special wood.
Okay.
The new season is just
Harry Potter was a very special boy.
The new season of Avatar, the new show, it turns out it's the first woodbender. Wood is the new fifth element.
That's what they used to call me in high school.
Wood?
The woodbender. Oh, it's fucking good. God damn. All right. So we end here with the crew goes down and Mako and Bolin pop up and they're like, oh fuck, oh shit, we gotta get him out of here. And then they manage to like escape with every key player here, even though
they did
all
it.
Of the Equalists should have been like had a, like all the Equalists conveniently turned the fuck around. Right as like Bolin and Mako popped out and literally haphazardly dragged everyone away.
Yeah, the one thing that like, and I get why they had to, it was poetic and has a meaning, but here we go again, Mako like trying to like underestimate Asami. I mean, like, sit here and be my little pretty like girlfriend and sit here and look pretty because yeah. That's all you're good at doing is sitting here and looking pretty. And
Korra does the same thing to Asami earlier on. Korra does the same thing to Asami earlier on where she's just like, oh, I don't know. What are we going to do today? We're going to go shopping.
That's what I said earlier. Like, that's why I brought that up earlier.
Try on perfume.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then Asami just turns out to be that girl. She just is that girl.
She puts on, why I love that she puts on the glove. And she puts on the glove because her father is offering her a weapon. Why wouldn't she, regardless of what her answer is going to be to her dad, why the fuck wouldn't she put on the, like, she puts on the glove and Mako is like, no, like, she's succumbed to her father. It's like, or her father offered her a gun and she took it, dummy. Like,
yeah, but also, like, that's, again, another man underestimating Asami in this episode because her father, like, would only, her father wouldn't have given her that if he didn't think that she was going to say yes. Like, he
like,
thinks
over,
that
yeah.
He's like, oh, by mentioning our mother and, like, how the, because of Benders, your mother's gone, like, by manipulating her emotionally, but then also, like, playing into, like, the power and being like, hey, like, I've seen this in you. I'm proud of you. I know you. Like, here, like, let's be a team. And he's trying to make it look like they're equals. Like, you're my daughter. We're family. And we both were wronged in the same way. And they took my wife, your mother, our family, and together, like, we can, like, right these wrongs. But he's only, like, he's offering it on his terms. And he's like, oh, like, I didn't let you know because I didn't want this. I was protecting you. I tried to keep this away from you for so long. And everyone has just been like, Mako, her father, like, even Korra, everyone's just being like, I want to protect you. Or just being like, and Asami, this is her moment. And she's like, yeah. How pretty is that? And, oh, God, what movie is it where someone paints their nails with, like, the, like, poisoned, like...
Holes.
Yes. The holes. Snake skin. Oh, yeah. Thank you, babe.
There's a snake venom.
Yes, and like literally,
and then she scratches the guy on the
face. Exactly the energy she has right now, where like Sigourney Weaver is just like painting her fingernails with that nail polish, and then
fuck,
like
that is Sigourney Weaver. Goddamn,
takes that man's chin and is just like thinking she's like lapping up everything that he's saying, and oh poor baby, and then like just literally comes at him with the like across his face with those nails, and like.
Slay.
So fucking good.
I kind of want to watch that movie now.
But did we see?
I will say.
Sorry.
I think that this is, in the show, I think that this is the beginning of the end for Mako and Asami's relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you can see that even though Mako is so like hard supporting Asami and just saying no to everything that Korra says, he is also like, he does become somebody who was trying to keep her from the truth the whole time, whether he knew it or not. Whereas Korra was somebody who may have underestimated her at first, but didn't even know her as Lana and already changed her view of her within, like, the first hour of hanging out with her. And I think that's where their relationship becomes different from Asami's relationship with Mako and Hiroshi. Because Korra does not try to... Korra has, like, sets the foundation of their relationship of, I'm only going to show you truth.
Yeah, and all...
She respects her instead of trying to protect her at all times.
Yes.
Yes, thank you. That's perfect, Zach. Thank you for saying that. And I, like, it also, like, because, like, Korra kind of... And I don't think she does this intentionally. She's not like, oh, I see another woman and I need to, like, lift her up. Like, you know, she's still...
But
she does, I think, because as, like, the avatar in her position, she has been underestimated this whole time. She was sheltered. Like, Tenzin and the bending masters, like, all kept her sheltered at the, like, at the water tribe, just, like, to quote-unquote protect her. And then, like, she shows up in Republic City and, like, knows nothing about this battle with Amon, and, like, they just let things, like, stew so much that, like, Korra literally is kind of just, like, walking into this hornet's nest. So she feels like this exact same way. Her father is building up this entire resistance movement and selling arms to, like, one side of, like, the enemy. But, like, we also see when he's like, yeah, I was so disappointed when you started, like, dating that, like, you know, street rat
fire boy riffraff.
Hold on, I gotta do it real quick. Hey, editing Zach, that's your cues. Riff raff, straight rat,
scoundrel. That's all you need to do is just give a note to me.
I know, but I need to do the Leela thing where I sing it. Street rat,
hey, scoundrel. Can you just clip in of just one of my best selfies into the podcast somewhere in
here
somewhere?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I'm not saying that. He'll say that while he's sitting, like, bleary-eyed on
Thursday.
While
he's sitting
at 9
in
PM.
Your same exact position that you are in right now.
Where I am right now. Right now.
Just like a few days
so
in the future.
We get that scene in the end where Lin is like, fuck the law, I'm gonna do what I want.
Yeah.
And then...
But one last thing I promised that I wanted to say about this is, and I think this is a perfect bow on what Honey said about Mako and, like, this kind of being, like, the end of their relationship. Because, like, if there is a very, very, very brief cutaway scene where we see their reactions... of Mako and Bolin and Korra when Asami punches her father with the Equalist glove. And it's the opposite. The gloves are on, y'all. Let's go. Korra's face.
The gloves are going on.
Korra, it's literally just a cut where it's like a split second. But Korra, like, her jaw literally drops to the floor. And Mako, he still looks surprised. But in comparison to Korra, Korra is just, like, goes from, like, zero, like, complete fear to, like, cartoon, like, Looney Tune style, eyes bug out of her head, like, damn!
And if they had cut to classic era Toph, it would have been the scene of her in the Ember Island Players where she just has this look of joy on her face.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to mention.
So we have all these people and all these things and their skills and their fantastical abilities and whatnot, and they all get this thing that allows them to level up and become stronger people, and that thing is experience points.
Uncle, do you realize what this means?
I won't get to finish my game.
Shouldn't there be a board or some pieces or something to jangle?
I won Dungeons and Dragons, and it was advanced.
Evil? Or maybe chaotic neutral.
The Demogorgon!
We're deep shit.
You've been shot by an arrow.
Ow!
Well, there'd be penalties to her experience if she acted out of alignment.
Woo!
So, because it's been quite a long recording, let's each do one or the other. We'll each pick a either a crit fail or a crit success.
Unless you got them right off the cuff. That. Locked and loaded.
I will say that... my crit success is Bolin's perform check when we get into the scene here We get a moment where Bolin is trying to cart off Tenzin's unconscious body. And he like runs into the Equalist and he's like, oh, hey, guys, how's it go? And he's like puppeting Tenzin's lifeless arms.
Weekend at Burning's.
It is like Weekend at Bernie's. It is literally like the funniest piece of animation I've seen on this show so far. So I have to give it to Bolin this episode.
Mine is, and I'm sorry if I'm stealing this from you, honey, but mine is a Sami. Like, and I love the callback from the beginning of the episode where, like, Korra's like, huh, I didn't know you could fight like that. And she's like, yeah, I've been training my whole life. Like, you know, people are always underestimating me. And then that's what happens. Like, comedy comes in threes because every person, and might have, every person that underestimates her this episode and puts her in a corner at the end of it, she's like,
she comes out on top. Yeah. She comes out with the glove on.
Retribution comes in threes.
Yeah.
Baby.
So, and like, just like the look, you guys have to, like, after this recording, do yourself a favor and go watch that scene over and see Horror's face. Like, that's just like, that's love right there. That's the moment, I think, when Korra like falls in love or like first starts like seeing Asami differently. Love at first punch.
I'm going to give my crit fail to Hiroshi for he didn't raise no bitch. And that is kind of a success, but it did not work out for him. He raised her too good and it ended up being his downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Asami wins.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Oh, that was so good.
Like when Alex turned out to be a left-leaning liberal and her parents are like, "Whoa, how could you do this?"
How
and she's like, "I'm sorry, you raised me to be like loving of other people and
like, oh,
you raised me to be a good person and
yeah,
you
raised me to be a decent person."
And also,
what did that tell you?
My mom always would brag. She raised me to be an independent woman who didn't need no man. Well, mom, I think you did a really good job.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, cause this is my house. Y'all just living in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, I mean, hopefully one day.
Hashtag goals.
Well, honey, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so much fun.
Please tell people where we can find you on the interwebs.
I am under most things. I am Honey Baby, spelled with threes instead of E's. I do art sometimes.
Spoilers.
Oh man, you mean that thing the computers do now?
She's really good at it.
I draw pretty pictures and I post selfies on the internet. And sometimes I record avatar podcasts.
And you play D&D with
us. Too. That's
us.
So crazy.
And I play D&D.
Yeah.
We do. We play D&D.
And then you also have free time to teach your amazing, credible, the best fur baby alive, Belmont, to do tricks.
Like, I do. I have taught my cat tricks.
She taught her cat to do not singular, not a trick, tricks, plural.
Yeah, he knows a lot.
Demand. Trick. And she has a face left, a very pretty face, might I add. So I don't know how it's possible.
And I'm also growing some parsley right now, in case anybody was interested.
Phoebe, you listen up. I know you don't listen to this fucking podcast because you're a cat and you don't have a device to listen to it on, but fucking take a note from this good boy, okay?
He is such a because good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's sitting behind me right now, I think. Yeah, he is.
Well,
we
pass along all of our giddy paws love to Belmont. Thank you, honey, for being on the show. I'm Alex.
I'm Zach.
And this has been...
I'm Honey.
And this has been...
My Cabbages!
Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye!
Bye, bye, bye.
Daddy, bye. Bye.
honors forbid from one another. A war divides their people, and a mountain divides them apart. They built a path to be together.
Yeah, and I forget the next couple of lines, but then it goes something like this.
Secret tunnel through the mountain. Secret tunnel. Secret tunnel. Secret tunnel through the mountain. Secret tunnel.
Hello, Mr. Sato. Wow, what a really swell, scary factory you have here under your giant mansion.
Deus Ex Media.